That's well said, my friend. Yeah, I am. And this is what I wanted you on, right? I think I love your content. You've got a great demeanor about you. You're very passionate, but in like a good way. You're not like overly overbearing or anything like that. So I think it'd be cool then just to kind of jump off the bat, I guess. Privacy is quite a big concept, I think, and a lot of people sometimes mistake it for security or confidentiality or these other things that kind of filter into the space but aren't necessarily the thing itself. So would you mind kind of giving us a definition or an overview of kind of what privacy is and how it kind of looks within the sort of day-to-day life?
Yeah, I mean, a very simple definition, I think the one that's the easiest to digest, is really just that privacy is about having the ability to choose what information you reveal about yourself to the world. And that boils down into a lot of different things. I mean, I was talking a little bit in the intro about digital privacy, because that's really the core of the focus in the world today, because so much of our lives happens online. But obviously physical privacy is a huge deal too. I mean, there's a very simple example of people say they don't care about privacy, but when they go to the bathroom in a public bathroom, they close the stall door. Like it's something that's very innate and natural to us. And the past forever of history of humanity, we've had a clear understanding and a natural bend towards personal privacy. And the real change has happened when we've introduced technology and we've put so much of our lives, so much of who we are, who we interact with, what we say, what we think online. We've started to give so much of this data over to companies and to governments that they're actually figuring out that when they invade our privacy, when they surveil us, they can both leverage that to make money, sell that data to somebody else who wants to use it to help them sell a product or whatever they want to do with it. And they can also use invasions of privacy to actually try to shift the ways that we approach the world. They can try to shift our worldview. They can try to shift who we vote for. There are lots of ways where when we lose privacy digitally, we can start to lose a lot of who we are as humans. So a lot of it really just boils down to, like I said, that simple definition of being able to choose what you reveal to the world about yourself. And really, that's at the core of what makes us human. So when you think about what makes you unique, what makes you different from your brother, sister, father, mother, friend, whatever, it's really those things that only you know and only you choose to reveal to the people that you want to have intimate relationships with. It's really the basis for humanity, for relationship. Like there's so much where privacy is at the core of it, but I think most people don't think about it in those terms and don't actively think about what privacy means or what the loss of privacy actually means to life in 2023.
Yeah, it's massive, isn't it? I think one of the things I wanted to get to, I think it might be good just to jump into it now, really, is this idea where we are handing over information without even necessarily realizing that we're doing that. We're creating accounts on LinkedIn, telling everybody our entire job history, precisely what we do, when we do it, etc., etc. We share our birthdays, we share our calendars on Gmail, whatever it is. There's things happening all the time where we're giving away core personal data that is going to be potentially shifted and kind of then leaned upon to enforce change potentially within our behavior, spending habits against advertisements that attract you and know where you've gone and seen. And my wife's recently bought a backpack, actually, and it's funny, whenever I now go on the internet, I'm then seeing the same backpack popping up everywhere, and that is not a coincidence. So I guess kind of obviously advertisers use it, social media uses it. You kind of mentioned in a way the sort of state government changing, or at least political parties changing people's leanings or voting. How widespread do you think this is? Do you think this is just something that happens in the West? Do you think this is a worldwide contagion? Like how detrimental is this digital privacy kind of hangover, I guess, for us all?
Yeah, I think it's mostly being abused by the West and by countries that are more focused on technology. I mean, a big term that we use in the privacy space is this idea of surveillance capitalism, and really where a lot of the invasions of privacy didn't start with the government, but started with companies wanting to use the access to data that they have through using use their platform or some service that you use, choosing to use them to host their services. There's a lot of interconnecting links, but a lot of it kind of started with that concept of companies realizing how they can take advantage of your data with or without consent, and start to make money off of it. And that's where kind of another linked term called, or a linked kind of phrase, where data is the new oil, has started to become popular, where it just talks about how we really have found a new natural resource in the world, which is data about what we are, what we say, who we talk to, all of those things. As far as governments actually using an invasion of privacy to gain more power, I think we've really seen that ramp up in the last 15 to 20 years. I mean, it seems like forever ago, but the Snowden revelations were just over a decade ago. And that showed how what then really was the early stages of the U.S. government leveraging surveillance capitalism to gain insight into what Americans do, who we talk to, how we vote, all those kinds of things started to happen. And that was really just unveiling the very early stages of what the U.S. has done. We know for sure the U.S. government did not stop after that and have only increased their abilities and continued to grow the surveillance state because they realize, and unfortunately, like within the U.S., we have a two-party system, but both parties usually are working against the common citizen, and the tools that get built under one party just get handed off to the other party and get leveraged against us again and again and again and again. So I definitely think it's something that we've seen growing and growing as governments start to really grasp what power this gives them. And I mean, governments tend towards growing larger and centralizing. And when they can not only use the traditional methods of trying to get you to vote for them, of offering special things during their kind of run for presidency or whatever, but can actually start to get insight into how you think as a person, into how this specific demographic in this specific city interact on Facebook, the groups that they're in. When we can start to show them specific advertisements, we can start to show them different search results depending on where they're at, depending on their political leanings. You can start to see some of the massive power that can be given to the government without our active consent, but through us using all of these tools that over the years have grown more and more vampiric in their approach to handling our data.